Is up, everybody. Welcome to the very first episode of From Genesis to Giraffes. I am your host, Tyler Stinchcomb, and I'm so excited to start this journey with you guys, finally. It took me a little bit to get this podcast up and rolling, and it's going to take a while for another episode to happen after this. I wanted to get one episode out, at least at the beginning of this year, to kind of give you guys a taste of what this podcast will be. I'm going to have to take a little break again before I can really start diving into an actual routine for this podcast. There's just some life stuff that's going on that's making me a little busy. And hopefully once some stuff dies down, then I'll have a little bit more time to dedicate to this podcast. But I want to at least get one more episode out. And I also have to do some explaining here as well before I get into really the core of this episode. So the explaining is that I've kind of changed careers. So part of why I wanted to change from this podcast being Christian Zookeeper is because it didn't feel like I had that title anymore. And there's other reasons. I like to keep it a little more vague and broad, which I know that just contradicts itself, but I just wanted to be a little bit more broad with the title, so From Genesis to Giraffes, and so I'm not a zookeeper anymore. That might be a surprise to some of you all, but it's been a long time coming, actually. I've known that zookeeping was not going to be a career for me full time, and maybe I'll dedicate a whole episode into why, into some of like what makes zookeeping so, what's the right word? Not hard, but just, you have to be very specific to be able to do zookeeping for a long, long time. I've been able to be a zookeeper for about 5 years, and it's been amazing. I feel like I did everything that I set out to do with zookeeping. I felt at peace with leaving. I felt like I accomplished everything I wanted to. And I knew that there was more out there for me. Also with getting married in August, there was my priorities have just changed completely. My entire life now is just about my family and doing picking a job that can support my family and support our goals and our dreams a lot more substantial than what zookeeping can be. And again, I love zookeeping, but I have felt, and there's all little reasons I can add up, you know, to why you want to leave a career. But again, I'm so blessed and honored to have that time to be a zookeeper. And it was time to move over to a field that can just offer me the goals that I wanted to obtain, and just offer more growth and stability. So ultimately, that's why I have switched to a different field. I'm still within biology, which is why, which is what I was really looking for, was to get into a field that is still biology. I love science. I love science education. I love talking to people, and I still get to do that with my new job. So I'm going to continue talking about animals. That's why I really wanted to continue this podcast, because it gives me an outlet to still be my animal nerd, to still talk about animals and talk about Christ, and mix the two of my zoological background and also my continuing and growing faith to be closer to Jesus. So that's really all the updates right now. And today's episode is about the leopard. So what From Genesis to Giraffes is I'm going to be picking a Bible or an animal that's mentioned in the Bible, and we're just going to dissect it, not literally, but we're going to get into it, and we're going to look at the Bible verses that it's mentioned, and we're going to look at the zoological background of the species, what we can learn from it, what the Bible has to say from it. And it's going to be really good, so I hope you guys lock in. Today's episode about the leopard is going to be a lot shorter one, because the leopard is not really mentioned very much in the Bible. It's not mentioned as much as lions or sheep, but it's still mentioned 4 times, but it's still mentioned only 4 times. It's alluded to, I guess you could say, with like other large cats, but really there's 4 times that the Bible has explicitly said the word leopard. most of the time that leopard is mentioned, it is a symbol or a metaphor. It's the three out of the four times really that it's mentioned in the Bible is to evoke an image for you, to get across a broader meaning, because a lot of people know what the leopard is. They see the spots immediately. When you think of a leopard, you see the spots. So that's really what the main goal of a leopard was in the Bible, is in the Bible, is to evoke an image. But we're going to get a little bit more into that. Real quick, before we go more into leopards, I want to explain why I chose a leopard first for the first animal, right? Like, why, Tyler? Why couldn't you just do horses or lions, something that has a tons and tons of verses about? But I want to do a leopard because, A, I mean, it's only four verses, so I can do it a little shorter. But also, it's a really fun animal for me because I think there's a lot that we can learn from it, from just the four times that it's mentioned in the Bible. And I just want to give you guys a good example of how, like, even if an animal is mentioned four times in a Bible, there's a reason why. And there's reasons why we can learn from an animal, even if it's not the big charismatic animals like your lions. Oh, man, this is the third time I said lions today. Ugh. Or sheep, or donkeys, camels, you know, all your big charismatic Bible animals, which they will definitely have their episodes about those animals. Those will be awesome. But the leopard deserves some time to shine. So I also absolutely love leopards because I worked with several leopards. I got to work with three, kind of four different snow leopards in my time, and then I got to work with mainly two Amur leopards as my time as a zookeeper. And my time working with both those species jumped them into, like, probably my top 10 favorite animals is both an Amur leopard and a snow leopard. Snow leopards I've done presentations on. I've done a class on snow leopards. I previously just did a podcast on snow leopards that is a bonus episode for the Christian Zookeeper. So I love snow leopards. I love Amur leopards. I loved being able to kind of get and see their behavior up close. Amur leopards are just gorgeous. They are probably one of the most endangered leopard species. Amur leopards are in like Siberia and Russia, where like Amur Siberian tigers roam, Amur leopards also roam. So they kind of have the same like region that Amur tigers are found in. And Amur tigers are also very, very endangered. In zoos right now, you'll mostly see Amur leopards when you're seeing a leopard because the AZA that really highlights Amur leopards for their species survival programs for breeding. And so they've kind of phased out another popular leopard that used to be popular in zoos, which was the African leopard. You will very rarely see African leopards in American zoos. That's not because they're endangered or anything. They're actually doing fantastic, and they don't need the help of zoos, which is why the AZA has kind of phased them out and says, all right, if zoos want to get a leopard, please go Amur leopard, because their numbers are so critical that we need more breeding of them to keep a stable population as a backup. So that's what AZA zoos are doing. So most times I've seen some zoos, they create a new like African exhibit and they'll throw in leopards. And they're not African leopards, they're Amur leopards. They do label them as Amur leopards, but they also usually have a sign that says, like, you know, these represent their African subspecies. But yeah, you'll pretty much, I can't name an AZA zoo that has an African leopard, actually. I really cannot. So basically all your zoos will have an Amur leopard, and then also snow leopards. So before I go any further into leopards, let's get into taxonomy. This is going to be my favorite part of these podcasts, is talking about taxonomy, because I love taxonomy, guys. It's so stinking fun. It was one of my favorite things learning in college. So I'm just so excited for it. So let's go to school, right? Let's go over taxonomy. You have your kingdom, phylum, class, order, family, genus, species. So kingdom, Animalia. Phylum is Chordata. Which is basically, we have a spine. And then it's the classes, which is mammalia, our mammals. Then you have a class for birds, class for herps or amphibians, and then a class for reptiles. And then within the class, you have, and then you have like subclasses, blah, blah. But we're going to go straight to an order. So orders for us would be like primates, and then family would be hominidae, and then genus, homo, and species is sapiens, right? So when you say the species name, you're saying both the genus and the species. So the genus is what the first part of the scientific name. So for us, it's homo. And then the second part of that scientific name is what the species is. So homo, genus, sapiens, species, homo sapiens. So that's a little tidbit for you guys. So that's when you say the scientific name, you're saying both the genus and species. A lot of people commonly just say that as the species name. That's the scientific name. The species name is homo sapiens. Again, I'm saying both the genus and the species. So hopefully that makes sense. So to get into leopards here, they are in the order of Carnivora, one of my favorite orders. It is a very, very, very diverse order, which I can get into in other episodes. But you got your raccoons and otters and bears, dogs, cats. All those can be found in Carnivora. And within Carnivora, they're kind of split into your dog-like and cat-like, Felidae and Canidae and Felidae. There's a suborder within that splits cats and dogs, cat-like, dog-like, and then there's other families in that. Anyways, back to leopards. We got Felidae, which is the family, and then your genus is Panthera, and then you get into your species. So the leopard is, you know what? I didn't even write down the actual species name that I want to look up real quick. Okay, let's take it back a little bit just for a little bit more explanation. So, for taxonomy, let's start back at the genus Panthera. In Panthera, you have your lions, leopards, jaguars, tiger, and snow leopard. One thing I want to get across real quick when as we're getting into the zoological, just explanation of what a leopard is. A snow leopard is not a leopard. They're actually very different animals. A snow leopard is not, it's not what you think of when you think of a leopard, like your African leopard, your Amur leopard, your Indian leopard. They're not the same thing as a snow leopard. Snow leopards are very different from your normal leopard, right? A snow leopard is actually more closely related to a tiger. The common name leopard makes it confusing because they have their spots, so they look like your African leopard. Such then they're labeled as a leopard, but they're a very different cat. They're not as closely related to a leopard as they would a tiger, right? So there's a lot of biological and anatomy that makes them much different than what your actual leopard is. So I just want to make that clear that snow leopards are a very different animal. So when the Bible references leopard, I'm going to take it as literal as I can as an animal with spots. But it's written in an area where there is leopards, your Arabian or Persian leopards, but not snow leopard. So I'm not going to get into snow leopard behavior and anatomy. I did a whole other podcast about that. But they're such a different cat that I need to right now just say like there's a difference, and then go listen to that podcast if you want to learn about snow leopards. But that's as far as I'm going to talk about snow leopards today. But there's just that big difference taxonomically that they are different. They're different species. They're not even a subspecies of a leopard. Again, snow leopard is not a subspecies of a leopard. So in leopard, in Panthera, perithi, I think is Panthera pardus. Sorry, Panthera pardus is a leopard. Whereas your snow leopard, is a Panthera unica, and then your tiger is Panthera tigris, jaguar is Panthera unca, and then your leopard is Panthera pardus. Within Panthera pardus, there is, again, depends where you look, it's normally 8 subspecies. I've seen some sites that are 9 subspecies of leopard. But within Panthera pardus, you have your Persian leopard, your Arabian leopard, which we're going to focus a lot on today. That's Panthera pardus nimur. Then there's your African leopard, which is your Panthera pardus pardus. That's the most common. You have your Sri Lankan leopard, your Javan leopard, your Indo-Chinese leopard, your North Chinese leopard, and your Amur leopard, and Indian leopard. I don't know if I said Indian leopard before. Let's go through that again, because I wasn't counting. Persian, Indian, Amur, North Chinese, Indo-Chinese, Javan, Sri Lankan, African, and Arabian. Some lists you're going to see, they're going to put your Indo-Chinese and your Chinese together as the same species. So depends where you look, right, of what leopard it's going to be, or how many leopard species there is. But let's go with 9 today, because 9's fun. But some places you would see will say there's 8 species of leopard. Again, notice that snow leopard is not part of pardus. It's not part of Panthera pardus. Okay, so hopefully that was cleared up for the taxonomy. I can go on and on about taxonomy. It's so stinking fun. So let's move on. I want to get into a little bit of the behavior of leopards. And specifically, I want to talk about the Arabian leopard, right? Because the Arabian leopard is found in the Arabian Peninsula. It would have been the leopard that people who were writing the Bible would have seen and would have had in their memory as the source of their image that they want to get across. So when they say leopard, they're probably thinking of the Arabian or the Persian leopard. So we're going to focus mostly on the Arabian leopard. These guys are found on mountainous uplands and hilly steppes. Most leopards are going to be in mountain areas. They are super, super agile animals. They're built for strength, not speed. So these guys are ambush predators. What we mean by ambush predators is they sit and wait, or they approach an animal and they hide until the right moment, and then boom. When the animal steps a little bit closer to them, it activates that predator response, and then they attack, and then they go get it. So these guys are ambush predators. They're going to wait. They're amazing climbers. I think I mentioned that. I'm sorry. I'm looking at a list here that I wrote. They're known for dragging their prey into trees. This is more common of your African leopards because they are not the biggest cat around, so they have to drag their prey up into the tree so that it's not stolen from them by lions or hyenas, right? So they'll drag it up into a tree. I couldn't find anything that said an Arabian leopard would, but that still just shows how strong these guys are, that they can drag their prey up into a tree. What is their prey? Great question. They can eat, and this is more specifically the Arabian leopard. They're hunting on gazelle, ibex, hares, small rodent species, hyrax, and even birds. And a little bit into their breeding, these guys are, they have a gestation of 13 weeks. They will produce 2 to 4 cubs in like caves within the mountains. And the cubs can open their eyes at 4 to 9 days. They come out of the den about a month old, and then they're weaned after 3 months, and then they remain there with their mom for 2 years until they go on their own separate ways, because these guys are solitary. They do not want to be with other leopards. They're not like lions. Lions, again, are your only social cat, and then everyone else just wants to be completely by themselves. So they're solitary. They have their territories. Males' territories are so much larger than females. They mark their territory with urine, with feces, with claw marks, just your classic your classic cat, you know. Most, again, most cats are solitary and are going to mark their territory with these methods. So pretty classic cat. They're nocturnal, so they're going to spend most of their time asleep or hiding during the day, and then they come out to hunt at night. These guys are, just when you talk about leopards or people see them in zoos, they're also very easily mislabeled as jaguars or cheetahs. A little bit real quick, jaguars are way, way larger than leopards. They on average have like 100 pounds over a leopard, like 250 pounds compared to 150 pound leopard. Jaguars have, so within the pattern of a leopard, it's actually called, those black spots are called rosettes. They're like circles that have that yellow within the spot. So it's not a full solid black spot, but it's like a more circle spot with a, like a, oh, like a, you know, it has a ring, maybe is a better way to explain it. So it has a center in it. But they're called rosettes. For jaguars, the rosettes actually have little spots in it. That is their big distinguish between a leopard and a jaguar, is that jaguars are going to have the spots within the rosette. Leopards don't have any little spots within a rosette. And then a cheetah has just complete solid black spots with no no little, you know, yellow within the spot. It's just all solid black. Also, cheetahs are super wimpy. There's gonna be a cheetah episode, unfortunately. I have a lot of feelings about cheetahs, but they're pretty weak. So I think they're a lot easier to distinguish between leopards, jaguars, and leopards. I can see people mislabeling, and that's okay. But they're also found in completely different areas, right? So jaguars are South America, and then leopards are your old world, are Africa and Asia. And a more little bit about the Arabian leopard, just a little bit on conservation, is that these guys are super endangered. They are like, there's about a 90% decretion. Their habitat has decreased. That's a better way to phrase it. About 90% from the 1960s. They used to be widely along the Red and Arabian seas, and now they're mostly just in the mountains, doing the best they can. There's some papers were saying like around 100, could be a little bit more. It's hard to track them, but they're not doing very hot. They're one of the most endangered leopards. Amur leopards are actually known to be the most endangered leopard, one of the most endangered cats on the planet. And then Arabian leopard is actually pretty close. They're just so hard to track, and their terrain is so difficult. It's the desert mountains, that we can't, confidently say how many leopards there actually are. And there's a lot of captive breeding programs going on, actually. So Israel is kind of leading the charge in the world for Arabian leopard conservation. So if you're curious about what they're doing, I'm not going to get into a bunch of the conservation because I want to get into other things. But please look it up. Israel's doing some great stuff for Arabian leopard conservation. So hopefully that gives you a little good background on leopards. And then, so let's get into the Bible. Let's get into what the Bible has to say. All right. So as I mentioned in the beginning of this, episode, leopards are only mentioned four times in the Bible, and they're mentioned as like a metaphor and a symbol when they are mentioned. They're brought up to depict that image, like I had said. So let's look at those verses. Jeremiah 13:23 is one of the verses that a leopard is mentioned in. And it's mentioned more to symbolize the inherent nature that a leopard's like spots cannot be altered. And it's just to bring up that image for you that the characteristics are not easily changed for one person. And then you get into like Daniel 7:6 is another time where leopard is mentioned. And here I'll read the verse. Daniel 7:6 says, "After that I looked, and there before me was another beast, one that looked like a leopard, and on its back it had four wings like those of a bird. This beast had four heads, and it was given authority to rule." So this is just a little part of an entire vision that Daniel's getting into. I won't get into that vision and the significance of that, but more just at the extent of the leopard, it's just brought in Daniel as an image, as a source for you to kind of picture what this animal is. And I think a leopard was brought in because you just see the power that leopards have. And I think what Daniel was trying to come across when I read it is just the swiftness that leopards have as they are ambush predators. And as this beast kind of takes over a kingdom, I think that's why a leopard was brought in as the image for this, because they're shown to be like just like fast and swift and able to conquest like a kingdom very quick. So I think a leopard was a really good image for that verse. And then we will get into then Hosea 13, 7-8. So let me pull Hosea up. And then Hosea, I want to read actually from verse 4. A leopard isn't mentioned till verse 7, but I want to read 4-8. So Hosea 13, 4-8. "But I have been the Lord your God ever since you came out of Egypt. You shall acknowledge no God but me, no Savior except me. I cared for you in the wilderness, in the land of burning heat. When I fed them, they were satisfied. When they were satisfied, they became proud. Then they forgot me." Verse 7. "So I will be like a lion to them. Like a leopard, I will lurk by the path. Like a bear robbed of her cubs, I will attack them and rip them open. Like a lion, I will devour them. A wild animal will tear them apart." Pretty graphic. Those of that read the Bible a lot, there's some pretty graphic images in here. I take it as this verse, section is just about the self-sufficiency that the people relied on God during the good and the bad, and just how powerful God can be. And again, the leopard is just an image here in Hosea of just the stealth and danger. I think that's why it was mentioned again, is it's just to show you an image of stealth and in danger and swiftness. So those verses. I will get to a summary here real quick. I know I'm kind of spitballing a bunch of verses. And lastly, I want to get into Habakkuk 1-8. And Habakkuk 1:8 says, "Their horses also are swifter than the leopards, and are more fierce than the evening wolves. And their horsemen shall spread themselves, and their horsemen shall come from afar. They shall fly as the eagle that hasteth to eat." So Habakkuk 1:8 kind of talks about just the swiftness of a leopard. So we looked at four verses, and basically all of them talked about the swiftness and give you the idea of the strength of a leopard. So why was a leopard mentioned? What can we learn from a leopard? Great questions. A leopard was mentioned to give another example of a big cat in the Bible, and to show the reader that image. I just love how diverse our God is and how creative he is, that there isn't just lions, but there's so many other cats out there. And I loved reading that a leopard is in the Bible, because it's more of a unique cat than a big old boring lion. So I absolutely love leopards. I love that they're mentioned in the Bible, even if it was very quick and not deep into like a character, like how some animals that we'll talk about, God really goes into different behaviors and characters and describes that in the Bible. But leopards more, it's the core of the strength and swiftness that they represent. And that is brought in to be an image or a symbol or even a metaphor for several verses. So I think overall, leopards in the Bible, for me, just show the beauty of our God and how amazing he is. And in Psalm 104:24 says, "O Lord, how manifold are your works! In wisdom you have made them all. And just look at the beauty of a leopard. It's striking coat with the spots, and it's just an example of God's creative beauty. And it just reminds me of the creation itself that reflects our God's glory and wisdom, and just the intricate design of leopard, and just how much more intricate did he design you. And I think overall, just looking at the leopard, it just does speak to the diversity and beauty in the natural world. And it's just, the leopard's just one example of so many of God's creative genius of just creating an animal that's so stealthy and so strong. And you see that in the Bible verses that it's mentioned. It's not mentioned as something of that holds a significant value that of like behavior that we can learn from, like, say, like a lion, but it more is an example of just God's beauty and just awe of, like, wow, like this animal is strong, this animal is swift, this animal is in some ways scary, and it's just an example of how amazing our God is. And you can just tell by the way it's mentioned in the Bible that people in the time that this was written did have awe for leopard, and just how amazing they are. And I think too, with how leopards are just solitary and quieter, that when you see them in the wild, it is breathtaking. It is amazing. It is like, whoa. It's an animal that creeps up on you, right? Like, it's not, lions are loud and clumsy, kind of. I mean not clumsy, but in my eyes they're loud and clumsy, and the leopard's the one that, like, you won't know if you see a leopard. It sees you, right? And it, if you see it, it's because it wanted you to see it, basically. And they're just so stealthy, and they're just so amazing. And I think that's the takeaway for me of looking at the leopard and looking at the verses from that mention the leopard is just our God's creativity and just beauty. So I know this isn't the most deep episode. It might not be. Some animals like this are just mentioned in the Bible to give us images and to just show how diverse the natural world is. And that's why I wanted to start with a leopard too, because of how just amazing they are. And, you know, I got to work with the two of my leopards, like I mentioned earlier, Jilin and Ionia. And it was a big benefit for me working with them, because I got to see them breed, and I got to see Ionia get pregnant for the first time as a first time mom, and give birth. I didn't get to watch her give birth kind of on camera, but she gave birth to two beautiful cubs, and I got to be there in their precious beginning moments, and just to see the little baby cubs of an endangered species, and just one of the highlights of my career as a zookeeper is getting to work with the Amur leopards. Jilin, that male Amur leopard, their dad was one of my favorite animals working with. Just his playfulness and his spirit. He was such a gentle guy, but also very strong, and like, I would be terrified if there was no bars, even though how playful and how friendly he was and the trust and relationship I created with him, he's still a very strong, very impressive animal. And you watch him just sit on the ground and all of a sudden boink and jump all the way like 8 feet up high on a platform without like barely moving a muscle. You're just, oh, how. It's amazing. So, guys, that's it. This is it for episode one of From Genesis to Giraffes. I hope it was a good listen. The next episode, probably the summer, we got our honeymoon planned coming up, so I'm planning that. We're doing a whole bunch of other stuff, potentially moving, so there's a whole bunch of stuff going on the next couple months that's going to keep me a little busy, that on top of graduation. So I will get there, an episode will come out, but I just want to pop one out right now so you guys get an idea, kind of a teaser episode, as you will, for From Genesis to Giraffes. So I think I'll get some people to help me with episodes too, so I'll have some co-hosts, which is really fun. I love doing episodes with people to just bounce ideas back and forth. But I hope you guys enjoyed this episode, and also this is coming out February 10th, and I planned that on purpose because it's World Arabian Leopard Day. So happy Arabian Leopard Day. Let's go. Go tell someone about a leopard and have an amazing day. See ya.